Lashana Tova, Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to all, and yes, we do pray you have been inscribed in His Book of Life, because then every year is a good year. Well, Rosh Hashanah is officially over. God's new year has begun. So now we are moving on to the high holy days of Teshuvah, which we are in right now, and toward the next feast on the fall calendar month of Tishrei, called Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. And that's coming up next week, actually beginning at sundown next Tuesday. So we will be on the air during this most solemn time on the Jewish calendar. And just like Rosh Hashanah has a lot of history and typology that all points to Christ, Yom Kippur has even more, which is why if you call yourself a Christian, well, you just got to learn about it. But first, let's call on our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name and all your names, as we anxiously await your kingdom, which is soon coming. Yeshua, you are our high priest that we honor and adore, for without you, we are nothing. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We continue to always lift up our loved ones that need your salvation. We beseech your healing power on our ailing listeners tonight, and for those particular requests recently given to us, we pray wisdom and strength for our president as he combats his many evil enemies. Bless tonight's study, and may you be glorified as we patiently wait for your will to be fulfilled. This in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I know you have some comments about our president and his obvious setup.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
It's a gravely sobering time, and most true conservatives, well, their hearts are in anguish over what the Dems in Congress, to include the deep state, are doing to our president. But God can turn it all around where the Democrats could get burned in the long run. Lots going on this week, so we'll just have to wait and see. And we'll also want to see how this all fits into God's scriptural timeline. But we are very sad that our Democratic friends and some distant family members of ours just don't seem to realize how their party has really moved into progressivism. We were both raised in Democratic homes, and I can tell you they would never have condoned abortion, and now infanticide?
Well, and what about the transgender movement?
I know, right? We recently saw, and I'm not kidding, a picture of a 2-year-old in a stroller wearing men's working boots and wearing a bra.
Well, you know, that's child abuse.
All I know is the world is getting sick and sicker. And it really all comes from pushing the biblical Jesus out of their lives and opening the door to strong evil influence, which I'm afraid is gaining even more dominance. You know, there's actually a mandate in some public schools now where the kids must read a story called I Am Jazz. And it's about a boy whose parents, who are demonically influenced, I'm sure, began his sex change at 3 years old.
And it's also a TV series in its sixth year on cable, The Learning Channel.
Oh, my. Well, it's appalling as they push the Green New Deal, and that's going to eliminate jobs.
And destroy our economy.
Right. So people will have to embrace socialism. They'll have no choice. And they'll stop eating meat and driving cars, and we could go on and on, but I must say, if President Trump should by any chance lose the 2020 election and the socialists take over the Senate and keep the House, we are done as a sovereign nation.
And also that Equality Act will pass in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. It's already passed in the House, which if passed in the Senate will force all churches to perform gay marriages. And, well, you know the rest of that story.
Well, you know what I'm hoping. Hoping God will remove us first.
Well, the fall feasts do take place just prior to the next election in 2020. And, in fact, Rosh Hashanah is on September 18th and 19th, which, by the way, just also happens to be on a regular Saturday Sabbath as well.
So it's a high Sabbath and a regular Sabbath.
Yes, and a new moon and a new year.
A new beginning for Christians, perhaps.
Uh-huh. I do have high hopes for next year, especially since the peace plan should be revealed by then. And even the Pope's covenant will be signed by all the nations as well. And to their demise, Israel will sign it too. Probably last, and I'm saying on a Yom Kippur, hopefully in 2020.
Yeah, well, as in Daniel 9:27.
It is. And that would be about a week after we're gone. So therefore, that would begin the tribulation. And I know that's a lot to take in. But we'll know more as next year transpires. But remember this. We know, and it is confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23, that the people could only meet with the king or the man of God on a new moon or Saturday Sabbath. So we could have both when we meet our king.
That would be just like God to arrange all that, you know?
Because he can. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Isaiah 66, 22 and 23 infers that the new heavens and the new earth begins on a new moon and a Sabbath. And then there's also Ezekiel 46, 1 that ties into that understanding as well.
Well, what's going on in Israel?
Well, as of today, it looks like Israel will probably once again have another election before Trump's treaty will be revealed, which actually puts the end time events into a more perfect timeline for our 2020 departure.
Because conservative Bibi cannot form a coalition.
And secular Gantz doesn't appear he can either. However, they will meet tomorrow for one last chance of perhaps joining together, but doubtful.
Yeah, you know, it's like mixing water and oil.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Netanyahu will have to face his indictments, and the country is in limbo, just like in America, where little else is achieved.
More on all that next week. However, you had something to report on the Pope?
I do indeed. Last week, a Catholic journal released the transcript of a meeting between Pope Francis and a group of 24 Jesuits, and that was on September 5th, 2019, during his recent trip to Mozambique, in which the Pope suggested that certain evangelical Protestants in the United States cannot really be defined as Christian. I think he's talking about me. But remember, history repeats itself. So, who persecuted the true Christians in the early church age of Smyrna?
I believe that was Rome.
Mm-hmm. And it will happen again when the Noahide laws are implemented after we're gone. It'll be to the new believers, the tribulation saints.
Mm-hmm. All right. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are all archived for your added learning.
Okay, let's dig into tonight's study on the 7 days of awe that ends at sundown on Yom Kippur, and that Jesus will literally and personally keep upon his second coming to earth, which is at the end of the tribulation.
Well, yeah, just like he kept the spring appointments during Passover with his death, burial, and resurrection.
And then also kept Pentecost by sending the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. So we are right now, as we speak, on the first day in the 7 days of awe, Tishri 3 through Tishri 10.
So what is the Jewish meaning of the word awe?
Yeah, it's a little different than ours. It's to them, it's like having an element of fearful trembling because it is a typological picture of the coming judgment, the 7 years of the tribulation period, when repentance during this time is of the utmost importance. Again, this is big time typology, affecting those left behind because they just never made Jesus Lord over their life. This typology is called the Awesome Days, and actually Joel speaks of it. In fact, could you read that?
Yes, in chapter 2, verse 11. The day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?
That's right. Joel is actually prophesying of the future dark days of the tribulation before the light of Yeshua returns. Every year during these days, in Hebrew called Yamin Yoreim, are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah that we've been talking about for a long time. Actually, they are the connecting days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Israelites from the Old Testament and still the Orthodox Jews today believe that during these final days, if they haven't repented before Yom Kippur at sundown and turn around more into God, their name would be taken out of the book of life with possible death on the horizon.
Yeah, it's a very serious time.
Yes, and much prayer goes on during this week. That's why the common greeting during this season and what we opened the program with,
Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, means may you be inscribed for a good year.
Because it also implies may their name remain in the book of life. So, this week is a very big deal to the Jewish communities. Then, on Yom Kippur, from sundown to sundown, they observe a complete fast, which is the only mandatory 24-hour fast that God told them to do. And that's recorded in Leviticus 23. But they were to afflict their souls. And fasting? Well, that can be afflicting. Well, at least to me.
But, you know, fasting does have many health benefits.
It really does. So, if you want to fast, of course you can, but only if you want to, because it is not required of His church. Or, perhaps you might like to do a part of a fast to recognize this future appointment that Jesus will keep when He returns at the end of the tribulation, at the closing of heaven's gates. There's a name for that, and it's called the Nilah.
And you know, then we see Matthew 24:31 says, He will return at the sound of the great trumpet which is blown on Yom Kippur.
Yes, another common phrase, which is a huge clue, because the great trumpet is an idiom for Yom Kippur, just like the last trump is an idiom for Feast of Trumpets.
So typologically, these seven high holy days, Tishri 3 through 10, is a type of the seven-year tribulation.
For sure. So, repentance and acceptance of Jesus is of the highest degree for those who have been left behind, because those who don't accept Christ as their Messiah before Revelation 19, when He returns to earth on a Yom Kippur, it's too late. The gates that were opened on Rosh Hashanah, according to Jewish thought and described in Isaiah 26:2, are now closed on Yom Kippur.
Again, called in Hebrew, the Nilah.
Mm-hmm. But sadly, Revelation says many will die from plagues, weather catastrophes, pestilence, etc. So be sure to tell those who you surmise might be entering the tribulation to repent quickly if they do, and soon. And they'll recognize that what's happened, I'm sure. And saints, if you are informing them right now, then they have a better chance to recognize what they need to do. Don't let them be ignorant where they might believe the lie. We really have an important job to do before time runs out.
Amen to that. So, recap on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, closes the season of Teshuvah.
And according to Jewish thought, God assesses the deeds of each person on Yom Kippur and decides their fate for the coming year. And from our Christian studies, Jesus will keep that appointment to literally fulfill it at His second coming when He bodily returns to earth at the end of the tribulation. And to those who have not repented and taken the mark of the beast, their names will not be in the book of life.
The typology of the fall feast concerning the last day's scenario, you know, it's just mind-blowing.
Well, it's actually breathless when correctly comprehended. Jesus' return on Yom Kippur is prophesied in Matthew 24:30 when it says, "All eyes will see him as he is," which implies face to face, as what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Maybe you should read that.
"For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face."
So Paul is giving us a great clue, as he often does, just like he stated that the rapture would be at the last trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15:51. But here Paul is telling us also that when you connect the dots, that Jesus' second coming to earth is like when Moses first used this idiom in Exodus 33:11, by saying he saw God face to face, and even though it was God's back, he talked person to person with him.
And it was Moses' second return from being with God.
I know, right? Moses is a picture of Jesus who came down from being with God the second time on a Yom Kippur.
Well, you know, the pieces fit perfectly.
But there is still more. Israel's high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur to atone for the sins of Israel. And it too, even with all the smoke, was termed as seeing God face to face.
Well, no wonder it's an idiom for Yom Kippur.
Exactly. So, to repeat, Jesus fulfills his fifth appointment of Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, at the resurrection / rapture, when he returns after our 7-year honeymoon on Yom Kippur, thus keeping the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23.
Well, there's only one left, the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm. When Jesus, also on his birthday, by the way, which is October 14th this year, ushers in the millennial kingdom that we will begin discussing next week. So please remember, God organized these detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases so that Jesus, who was also Jewish, would use in order to give us huge clues. So to learn how it will be with us. And Paul confirms this to us in Romans 15:4.
"That the things written before is for our learning."
That's speaking to us today.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he said? And I'll paraphrase in Leviticus 23. He said, "Tell the children of Israel that these appointments of the Lord, well, they're my holy rehearsals." Maybe you could read verses 27 and 28 of Leviticus 23.
"The 10th day of this 7th month,"
which is Tishrei,
"the Day of Atonement, it shall be a holy convocation,"
which means rehearsal,
"for you, you shall afflict your souls,"
a term they use for fasting,
"and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God."
Also read verse 32.
"It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath."
And that in Hebrew is Shabbaton, so it's a high Sabbath. So another idiom depicting Yom Kippur is the fast. Now, another name is called the Day of Atonement, which we've talked about. But that's because in Exodus 32:30, Moses said that he would go up the mountain to pray atonement for the people because of their grievous act of making the golden calf. And then 40 days later, Moses returned back to the people with the new tablets at the end of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur. So Moses was a prototype of Jesus' second returning, also on a Yom Kippur, with a new covenant of his new millennial kingdom. It's also called the Day of Judgment. And, of course, that would be to the goats, the unrighteous, the Antichrist, the false prophet. However, it's also called a Day of Redemption. And, of course, that's for the sheep or the righteous, Matthew 25, who then enter his kingdom fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, another idiom for Yom Kippur is stated already, as I said, is the great shofar. And again, that's only blown on Yom Kippur. So let's now talk about the two goats, of which one would be offered up to the Lord, but the other goat was for the sins of Israel. And we read that in Leviticus 16:21. It says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat, which, by the way, name is Azazel, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Now, according to the writings of Enoch and confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon, which remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient times, and the same area where Jesus in Matthew 16:18 proclaimed, while pointing to the caves in Mount Hermon of the god named Pan, that the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church. You know, Dan and I visited the foot of this mountain, and in defiance of the devil, we were baptized in front of those caves at the mouth of the Jordan River and openly proclaimed Christ. That was an exhilarating time, let me tell you. Anyhow, according to Enoch, the fallen angel named Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and taught women the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity, until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness with the other fallen angels until the great day of judgment, when it says they will all be let out upon the earth as part of the judgment. Read about that in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, Isaiah 26, but will finally, at the end, be cast into the fire forever. According to the Mishnah and the historical writings by Josephus, a red sash was tied to the scapegoat named Azazel when led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were atoned for. They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. The Mishnah also states around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, around the time of Jesus' death, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Well, because Jesus' death freed them. They didn't need the goat anymore, so the goat no longer, again, was needed, which is why it didn't turn white anymore. So, Joel 2:15 uses Yom Kippur terminology. I'm trying to go quickly on this, but he said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. And that matches Isaiah 26:20. So he's more or less right out there saying, we're coming back on a Yom Kippur. We're going to go over this a little bit more next week, and I hope you have a great week. And remember, this is a special time, so get closer to the Lord as we close the season of Teshuvah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.